This is an open speakers meeting tonight, and our speaker is Jewel.
Is this on? Do I need to lean up closer? Are we okay here, Tim?
You're great.
Okay. Okay. I always get a little nervous speaking, so I just need to say that out loud. And I just decided that because I get a little ADD with, I start talking and I kind of go off on tangents. So I thought, you know, I'm just like going to kind of write it all out so I can just stay focused and everything that I want to say tonight about basically how it started for me and what my disease was like and how it is now. So I am Jewel, bulimic, anorexic, and a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jewel.
Hi, Jewel. I can remember at a very, very young age, I don't know, maybe 4 or something, sneaking food under my bed at a very, like I said, a really early age. I remember always craving, wanting sweets. I remember seeing vending machines at, you know, an early age, like with, I'd be out with my mom somewhere and getting excited about what I would see in a vending machine. And, you know, as a young girl, I just thought, oh, whatever, that's how everybody feels about it. So as I got a little bit older, my dad had a huge part of my body image and what I needed to look like. I have 3 stories from my father that I will never forget, that I wanted to share. And these all happened when I was in elementary school. The first one, I remember coming home from school to tell him this huge accomplishment I had done in an English class. And I was telling him about it, and he cut me off mid-sentence and said, "What did you do for exercise today?" The second one, I remember he, another time speaking to him, and he was with one of his close friends, and we were talking about something, and I was saying something to my father, and he cut me off again, mid-sentence, and pointing out that I had a double chin when I was talking. The third one was when we went on a ski trip up to Winter Park, and we went up with like 3 or 4 other families, and so there were all the, you know, the kids and then the adults, and one night we went out for pizza, and it was one of those you know, those long kind of like a picnic table, but it was like really long, like from probably, you know, this microphone all the way down past that second row of chairs. And so all the kids were kind of like on this end, and the adults were down at that end. And I had had a piece of pizza, and we were all having fun, the kids, and I, you know, reached over to grab a second piece of pizza, and my father screamed at me from the end of the table and said, "Do you really need that second piece of pizza, Jewel?" And so I was mortified, just absolutely mortified, because not only was I embarrassed in front of, you know, the other girls and boys, but the adults. So my bulimia started kind of early middle school, and I would exercise, starve, I do diet pills, and I do some drugs. Then about a year later, I started kind of toying with the actual purging part of it, of the bulimia, not on a regular basis. If I was more active and thinner, I would get praised by my parents. When I would not purge or exercise and binge eat, I would be beaten down emotionally by my parents. My father said the same comment to me about every 3 to 3.5 months. And this is, quote, "You will never, ever amount to anything because you will live in some trailer park eating potato chips, watching soap operas all day long, getting fatter," unquote. And I think he said that to me off and on for 10 years. My parents then, so we're like middle school. So my parents, they sent me away. This was, the beginning of middle school. They sent me away to Arizona to live with a family, in hopes of me getting a better attitude is what they told me. I'll never forget, they took me, we went out, it was after church, and we went to a Village Inn for breakfast afterwards, and my dad said, "By the way, you have a plane ticket, and you're leaving for Arizona and tomorrow, and we're taking you out of school because, you know, we're hoping that that's going to change your attitude." So I went to Arizona. And then I later found out I was sent to this family, and I'm quoting this by what my father said, told them, and then I later found out, we're sending her to you to get her thin, and she might come back happier. And I did come back 4 months later, and I was thinner, but the empty hole inside of me, it got worse. It was just, you know, years of binging, starving, binging with purging, binging with exercise. I ran 8 marathons in 2.5 years. My teeth began cracking from the bulimia. I passed out 2 separate times, both in a public place, taken in an ambulance, ER, from dehydration, iron deficiency, low blood sugar. On my wedding day, my father told me, "I knew you had it in you to be a thin, beautiful bride." And at that time, I weighed 102 pounds, and I was slowly killing myself. The hole inside me got bigger, and my food addiction led me to always hide everything from everyone. Including my husband. And I would blame monthly cycle on why huge amounts of food would be gone from our pantry. I would on a weekly basis run to the store to replace boxes and bags so my husband wouldn't know that I had gone through them so quickly. I would use laxatives and tell him I had the flu all the time. I was dishonest, selfish, and only cared about my lover and my hater, food. I convinced myself that having children would cure this crazy food addiction. So when we finally had them, our two boys, and that took 5 years because of all the screwing up I had done with my body, having no body fat and then having body fat and all these problems that I had created, it took us a long time to get pregnant. So we had two boys, and that is when I hit my bottom. I was stuck at home alone with two babies. My boys are 12 months apart. And we didn't know at the time, but they're both autistic. And I had, my second one was on oxygen for 6 months. So my bulimia, anorexia, compulsive overeating, it just hit an all-time high because that's how I deal. So my whole day was basically spent binging and purging. I would strap them in a high chair so I could go purge. At times, I couldn't get off the toilet from the laxatives, and I would be purging in a plastic bag simultaneously while they were crying outside the bathroom door because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get off the toilet. My disease was more important than my own children. I knew I needed help, and as they continued to grow, the ugliness of my disease did as well. I just wanted to make myself look as good as possible on the outside when I was dying on the inside, absolutely dying. I have thrown my kids in the car with no coat or shoes in the dead of winter, violently driving to a convenience store to buy $50 worth of candy. I have stolen their Easter and Christmas candy. I've been in a car accident. I rear-ended someone with my kids in the car because I was binging while I was driving. I have eaten 2 weeks of their school lunch food in one day. I have hid wrappers in car seats, pockets, couches, my closet. I always carried plastic grocery sacks with me 24/7 to vomit into. Sometimes I would hide the triple bagged sacks in our closet so my husband or kids wouldn't hear or figure it out. I have picked many food items out of our trash can, the worst being when I sprayed bleach on some brownies thinking I couldn't eat them now, and went back through and picked them and ate them, not caring if I died. I knew of OA, but I never went until I think I got scared enough. And I thought, well, maybe it'll help. I'll just try it. So I showed up at an OA meeting, and I was scared to death. But at the same time, I just instantly had a feeling these people are just like me. I asked for help at that meeting, and I feel like the OA room was my family, the family I never had. People opened their hearts and offered help, offered to help. I got a sponsor that night. So my process with OA has been, it's been a long one. I came in and out of the program in the beginning. The God word, it really scared me at first when I first came in. It would turn me off and I wouldn't come back for a while, and then I would. And I would feel really insecure when I would show up. I thought all the other people in the room were better, smarter, you know, more willing than I was. And my sponsor told me one thing repeatedly, which was to keep going back. Get to that meeting, Jewel. Show up regardless. Go. So I just kept showing up. And sometimes I would be binging on my way to a meeting. And I had times that I was binging and purging after the meeting. But I was still going to a meeting. I would hear others talk about being free from the mental obsession and experiencing an abstinence. I never ever felt it would work for me. That just simply didn't apply to me. So I just kept coming back. I call my OA process, a lot of you have heard, I refer to baby steps. So it was, you know, little things. I started to read my big book more. I started to tote it around in my purse. I started to make a few phone calls for outreach. And then I became willing to start calling my sponsor on a daily basis. So I started calling my sponsor every day. I slowly became more willing to use more tools from this program. But most importantly, I started to learn I could never cure this addiction with my own doing. I needed something higher than me for help. I decided, which is step zero, a speaker that I love talks about a step zero, and I love it. Which is, and I'm quoting from the big book right now, if you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take the certain steps. I became willing one morning, and this time it was thoroughly becoming 100% willing. So that meant my weight number, my gene size, my ego thoughts of my body and food, all of that stuff. It all became my higher power's business. It was not mine anymore. For my God is the one who has all the power, no longer Jewel. My abstinence has been raw. It's been imperfect. It's been very challenging. But ever since I decided to truly start with step zero and then thoroughly work all 12 more steps. My life has drastically changed. Because of these steps, I no longer obsess about food all day. I have been able to open my heart up more to my husband, come clean with my secret I kept from him for 16 years. Because of working these steps and the amazing people in the OA rooms, I have softened. I recognize where I am selfish on a daily basis. I am honest. I am a better mother and a better wife. And I can now forgive my father. I have a place to come, a room filled with people who get me, and I get them. We can safely cry, share, know that we are never ever alone anymore. All this because my God has his hand on my shoulder doing what I always tried to do but couldn't. I still have tough days and will. As some of you know, last week I had a really, really tough day. Is my food plan perfect? No. Do I have days that I still want to give up? Yes. But I cannot and I will not ever go back to my old way of living with a dead, selfish spirit inside me. I take pride in taking care of myself, but now I do it with a soul and a heart that actually feels. My higher power gives me a life without numbing with food. This life is real. It's my imperfect life that I'm beyond grateful for. And then I wanted to share something quick that my sponsor asked me to write in the front of my big book. And I was shaking when I was writing it, but it was just so powerful to me, and I just wanted to share it because I love it. And it says, Dear Jewel, this is a note from God. You are never going to have your own way again. Love, God. P.S. If you follow the directions in this book, you will thank me for it one day at a time. That's pretty cool. So now how I kind of want to end this is we have a gift for you. And I think I don't remember all of it, like the specifics of Mary Ellen's abstinence. But it was around Easter, and I know that you've shared that was kind of when your mother showed a lot of love, was Easter and chocolate eggs and chocolate. And so we have an egg for you. And there's a different kind of chocolate in it. And we've all written little chocolate surprises for you. I'm just gonna read you a sample. of one of them. Mary Ellen. A connection was made immediately from the moment I met you. Your support, honest sharing, your ability to spread the big book, and your kind heart has had such an impact on me. You have truly worked the steps, and it shows. Congrats on your abstinence, your 14 years, and it will always taste better than any chocolate Easter egg. So you get to take this home, and you have a different kind of special Easter egg.
Oh, my God.